potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. And the second bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. Bacon.
You get the idea. And now, get yours with a dollar any size soft drink. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey Sports Station. It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, I'm Reginald Adetula. We got Byron Matthews sitting in for the great Figgy Fig on this Football Friday. Football Friday will continue even once we're off the air at 2, because we're handing over to The Drive, where they will be broadcasting live from Taqueria Aranda Sports Bar, or Taqueria Sports Bar, or no, it's Aranda Sports Bar.
Yeah.
There we go. Got it right on the third try. Aranda Sports Bar in the Heights. So go out and see the fellas. I might pop out there because I'm kind of hungry, and I'm like, I ain't nothing at the house I would have to cook. Might as well let the fine folks at Taqueria Aranda.
Friday, man. Live a little.
You know what I'm saying? Go see the fellas. Yeah. Give me some enchiladas. Right. Be in a good place. You know who's not in a good place? Is apparently the Carolina Panthers. I had not noticed this until just a few minutes before we came back from break. But apparently, their injury list looks crazy. There are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. That's probably like 20 people on the injury report.
Good luck, Bryce.
And that's not just like, oh, questionable and whatever. There's some doubtfuls.
Yeah.
There's a lot of outs. Yeah. I mean, Andy Dalton, Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else in here. Josh Neesman, A'shaun Robinson, Jadeveon Clowney, just everybody. Jonathan Brooks on here. Adam Thielen on here. He is out, right? Like, they're not doing well. So sometimes you just got to take an opportunity and step back.
How ugly can that get, man?
What a blessing. What a blessing that you're dealing with some good things, right? You have Kamari Lassiter practice all three days this week that he was available to. Henry Toto practice today. Like, you're moving in some good directions health-wise, and you're definitely not in the place that the Panthers are. So that's blessings there. Also, if you're happening to go to the Rockets game tonight, there is an advisory, a traffic advisory that got sent out, because there's an event happening downtown as well. There's a campaign, a campaign rally as well that's happening. That's going to have a lot of people at it. So you want to make sure that you make a plan accordingly if you're planning to head downtown to the game to watch the Rockets play the Grizzlies tonight. All right. What you will also have to plan accordingly for is getting out there early, getting out there and being ready to get in your seats at the right time and cheer on your Texans when they face on the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday at noon. You'll be able to hear the pregame festivities get going at 9 a.m. with Sean and Seth. But when it comes to that game and when it comes to this time, we get into Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the reasons that and factors that will determine whether or not Texans come out with a victory? And first of all, I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of win because, maybe not a lot of lose because here.
Yeah, no, look, and I'll get the obvious one out of the way first, and I'm sure you agree. I mean, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon does Joe Mixon things.
159 again?
Yeah, well, I'll take 109. I'll go ahead and give you knock 50 off for you.
Okay.
Right. I think they still win if
little discount.
If he just busts 100. That's the obvious one. I mean, right? I mean, if they get that, and I was talking earlier, like, even if the line doesn't show, even if the offensive line has the exact same game it had last week, the exact same game it had against Buffalo, and Joe Mixon does Joe Mixon things, Texans are still going to win. It's not going to be like last week where it led to, obviously, a close loss, but a really ugly loss.
Yeah, so yeah, if Joe Mixon goes off, that's absolutely, you'll be in a great place there. So Texans win because Joe Mixon continues to give you the individual brilliance that you absolutely love. Obviously, the clear Texans win because is all the talk and all the, you know, the Bobby Slowick of this all on the offensive line gets them in line and they actually deliver. Like, then you're definitely in a place where you're geared to win, right? This is just, if you're blocking it up and you're giving Joe Mixon an opportunity to be successful, because, I mean, we were giving them praise behind whatever was happening against the Colts week one, and I don't think that was particularly incredible. Now going back and looking at it, how much more if you actually get your stuff together in a way that feels like it should? Joe Mixon will be cooking with grease if you can make that happen. So, yeah, get the O-line together. But you have sold me on the idea that they don't have to be anywhere near perfect in order to win. I still feel wild getting to the place like they, if they do what they did last week, they get a win. Because don't forget, with Joe Mixon give you 159 and with Nico Collins absolutely torching that defense, you won by two.
Yeah.
Now, the defense, I think, is also, for your Texans, is in a better place than it was then as well. But, yeah, I have... I don't know.
Oh, I want them to get better.
I don't know that I feel great about the idea that, hey, man, you're just terrible and you're just still going to get the victory.
I don't know anyone who follows this team that isn't hoping that their offensive line gets their stuff together and plays more consistently, et cetera. I'm just saying, like, Joe Mixon has been able to carry the load even for the offensive line in the past. Another one for me, we mention him and wonder about him. But it's not like he's one of the, you know, the talking points of what can get this offense going. Dalton Schultz, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, you know, we can talk about all you want on Tank Dell breakout game and all this other stuff. Dalton Schultz, I mean, I remember watching that first play. What did he go for? 27 yards or
28.
Something? 28.
Yes, sir.
28 yards, his first reception. I'm like, all right.
And we knew the Packers had not done great against tight ends. It was like, okay, this is an opportunity, and that was the one.
And then nothing.
Nothing. And, yeah, but man, and it's also another thing, and I don't know if you can even lament this as they're only looking for those guys, and they might be, right? I know that Bobby was talking about the idea of, like, the progressions and maybe not being able to get very far through the progressions because of the lack of pass protection. But it feels like the only three guys that really and truly have an opportunity to impact the pass game, clearly Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz. And two of those guys have been a little so-so in the course of all of this. So, like, yeah. You give something, if you give us something there, right, then the pass game, at least, even if you're just operating within the framework and the context of what they've been doing thus far.
Exactly.
A lot more effective, especially also because without Nico Collins, Nico Collins has been the guy that's been able to attack defenses deep, at least with this offense. Feels like the next guy that they've at least been able to try and attack deep with is Dalton Schultz, as opposed to some of the other guys. And I wonder how much it has the two high safety effects that a lot of teams have been having, and maybe they're trying to put a cap on
the receiver, and so Dalton Schultz opens up.
But I mean, hell, man, if that's what it's going to take, then do that.
Yes.
And at least let's see the effect of getting explosive plays, because that's the thing that really hurts teams.
Exactly. Come on, man. That was my insight for Dalton Schultz. Come on.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, that'd be real helpful. That'd be real helpful. Allow me to kind of throw in a lose because here. Texans lose because the linebackers that are playing give up big chunk plays to Jonathan Taylor. Remember, that was the thing that we were talking about heading into week one, was, hey, man, Jonathan Taylor and, like, the big run-up possibilities that exist with this team. That doesn't go away, right? Like, that's still there. Jonathan Taylor and, honestly, Anthony Richardson is one
of those
guys
I was going.
That you have to corral. But Neville Hewitt, he handled himself well, but I can vividly still remember a play or two where it was like, ooh, you kind of missed the responsibility there, or you did not get a chance to get a tackle in there that can lead to big plays. This is a team that I don't think that they are particularly fruitful offensively, the Colts, but don't give them an opportunity to let those guys get into their bag in that way and get big plays, especially up the middle. And Henry Toto has been pretty damn good reading and recognizing, but, you know, still need to be on your P's and Q's in that regard, because this is a different level. A guy that has great contact balance is the word that they like, or phrase that they like using with Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Similarly with Anthony Richardson, he's a big physical dude that can take you for a ride if you're not careful. So, yeah, those guys have to be really on their P's and Q's when it comes to their run.
And it hasn't been that long ago. In fact, going into week one, when we were talking about, boy, Jonathan Taylor just tortures the Texans. You know, he had 200 or whatever it was in the final game of the season last year. Colts nearly pulled it out. But I was going to go more with Anthony Richardson. That's another one where... not just Neville Hewitt and Toa Toa and whomever else, whether it's Jake Hansen or whatever, but also those tackles. I mean, let's see what DeNico Autry can do now that he's got one game under his belt. Obviously, Fatakasi, you know, has been all right. Settle has been more than all right.
Yeah.
So that entire middle, because you mentioned this earlier, you know, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you know, what they can do on the edges, maybe they won't get as many sacks, but they're going to, obviously, as they did in the first meeting with the Colts, you know, focus on keeping Anthony Richardson between the tackles. Well, that puts a lot more pressure on the guys up the middle.
Do you agree with the 281 here? It says they'd be happy to see what Cade Stover, Teagan Quatoriano, game looks like, where I guess they are more of the tight end focuses than Dalton Schultz.
I mean, I would be happy to see what they've got. But you have Dalton, and you just signed him too. You just got, you know, extended.
Yeah, but take
him.
That out of there. Like, I understand what you're alluding
to. I'm saying, but he's Dalton Schultz. He's a guy that is in on this team for that reason.
No, I hear you, right? And I don't want to disregard that, but I'm saying just like if you take off the name and the contract, because I know that obviously that factors in when we talk about this, if we're going to be real.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were able to somehow kind of get around that. Is that how you feel? Because I don't think it is funny for enough for me.
I don't know with the rookie, you know, how much you can really feel like he's going to progress this quickly midseason. So I'm kind of with you on that. Quatoriano has been very, you know, very much unpredictable. No, I think it's Dalton Schultz.
Now, of course, I would like to see better from Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
I think we all would. But yeah, it still feels like he's probably best suited now. What I would also love to see, and this I don't know if I put this in the Texans lose because win because I don't know if this shifts this, but Texans win because they start implementing more spread concepts in what they do.
Oh, that's good.
We talked to our guy ND about this.
Yeah, I like that.
In fact, I might need to ask Byron to go back and double back and find that because I just want to hear it one more time. The ND Kalu, when we were talking to him on Thursday, he laid out a fascinating case for why he was kind of surprised that you've not seen more spread for this team. If they can start utilizing some of that and giving CJ Stroud an opportunity to cook and not have some of that or as much of that
spread formations,
right? As much of that attention in the box. Like, I think that could be interesting in trying to open up this offense more because we still haven't seen this offense get to what we were looking for.
No, that's a real good one. He was basically saying that defensive linemen, defensive players like himself, They want you to have that tight formation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking for that because it makes it a little easier for them to get their job done. And you know, that maybe leads to a win because, you know, Bobby Slowick, no matter where, and we've talked about it today, but no matter where you fall on, it's on the players, it's on Bobby, it's on both. Bobby Slowick, has to get not just Dalton Schultz, but Tank Dell involved, maybe, you know, come up with a different, you know, a look as we're talking about.
You realize that you're not seeing Joe Mixon get involved in the passing game?
Not a lot.
That was one of the things that we were super excited for. I remember vividly the feeling that I had when I saw that play out of training camp the first day that he played.
Right sideline.
Right sideline, wheel route, boom, right there in a bucket. I was like, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
And you haven't really gotten much of that taste in this, and that's been kind of, I don't know if a disappointment is the right word there, but that's been something that I've really missed not being able to see yet. So I would love to see some of those things together come together. How about this for a win because? Texas win because you can't get embarrassed on Andre Johnson ring ceremony night, right?
No, you're absolutely right. That's going to be really cool to see him get his ring. I think it's at halftime.
It is at halftime.
Yeah, yeah. But for sure, and he's one that obviously has a lot of experience against the Colts.
Yeah,
as well.
That is true. Yeah. Absolutely. Just do it for Andre. Like, if nothing else, right? Right. I think there's great reasons to do it. Do it to make sure that you keep your AFC South lead, right? That you push it further, that you beat the Colts both times, and that you make sure that you put some distance between yourself and them. Do it to obviously get yourself together, right? Make sure that you get wins, just generally stack those wins. Do it for all sorts of various reasons. But also, do it because if you get out here and embarrass Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
In one of the, like, the first Houston Texan to go in to the Hall of Fame, you'll never live it down.
You probably won't. I think you think we're on the record. The Texans are going to win the game. The lose because is obvious with Jonathan Taylor, which we've talked about, Anthony Richardson, which we've talked about. That Colts defense really doesn't scare me at all. So all these things that we're talking about should be done. Should be able to do it.
The only other thing that I imagine is a little bit of a threat is the one that you started seeing as a threat in week one, which is, there's the big play over the top, right? Mm-hmm. Kamari Lassiter should return in this one. No Jimmy Ward, but, it's going to be on Eric Murray and a little bit more advanced at this point. Kalen Bullock, he has a few more games under his belt now. But those guys are going to need to be on their P's and Q's because Alex Pierce is a deep threat guy. Yeah. You know, over half of his routes are vertical in that way. So yeah, making sure that
they have three wide open receivers that Richardson missed in the first game. At least two.
Right. That feels about right.
I think it was three. two of which would have easily been touchdowns. Yet, yeah, that's, yeah, lose because Anthony Richardson connects. You know,
yeah, and that's a dude who let Seth get back out here and remind you of the way that the his completion percentage is set up. He does not complete over 50% of his passes, so it's not he's not going to be a guy that dices you up.
Yeah,
it is.
If he has a day,
it's an opportunity. It's by him hitting these deep shots with the big cannon that he has mm-hmm. and connecting on dudes that are open, running free. So yeah, don't let that happen. Clearly, obviously. But yeah, I'm here for a big win for your Texans team. Someone says, do you think CJ will have a 300 yard game? Because he hasn't had
a lot of those. It's been 2 weeks, I guess. No, look, and that's a fair one. I mean, even if they scuffle around, even if the offensive line, doesn't play well again, and Joe Mixon doesn't have the 100 plus yard game. You're still in a chance if CJ just does CJ things. That's an easy win because that we haven't even talked about. Like if they're struggling and everybody's like rubbing their forehead going, oh no, they're going to lose this game, and CJ does his thing, I'm good with that.
Let's go. I'm going to go ahead and put a score on this. I don't know why I'm eager to do this, as if like I enjoy predicting games or if I feel like I have any little level of aptitude or capability of doing it. And yet here I am getting ready to give you a game. Somebody said A.D. Mitchell was open twice last time they played him. Absolutely.
And then there was and then Alec Pierce. So there's three.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let's go. I kind of keep wanting to go with the higher score, but I don't know if that's the right way to go. 27-10 Texans.
I'm thinking. I kind of want to go with a higher score too.
DeForest Buckner is playing 8-3-2, by the way.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you got to get Kaimi in there again. So I'm gonna say 31. They might hit one of those. So I'm gonna say 31-17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Texans, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Yes. Make sure Andre Johnson is proud. That's the rallying cry for me. Hey, do it for Andre. Make sure that you don't sour Andre Johnson's day as he gets his Hall of Fame ring at halftime. Some people during the course of the show, because our question of the day mm-hmm. mentioning Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame ring, if you were to be inducted into a Hall of Fame, what Hall of Fame would it be? I really appreciated this one on the Twitch, which is the getting paid to poop at work Hall of Fame, because I feel very strongly about that. Shout out to you. And I guess maybe no shout out to all the employers that are listening that might not enjoy that I have that perspective.
Take your time.
Yeah, man. Just go ahead and use the facilities. While you at work, there was another one that I had seen earlier that I've completely forgotten. Were there any other ones that came up?
Well, our program director.
That's right.
Getting athletic injuries and doing non-athletic things.
Yes.
That dude.
Yeah, I think
I had no idea.
Dislocated both knees.
Playing golf one, and then I guess what was the other one?
Disc golf. Ultimate frisbee. I think he said he like fractured his foot walking his dog.
Yeah.
That's tough. And then of course somebody texted in and said, hey, don't forget Larry Stafford, Sports Radio 610 caller Hall of Fame.
He's in there.
Yeah, that's one that pops up as well. Mm-hmm. Send those in. I want to keep getting some more of those as we talk about, we talk about some of the Hall of Fames that you would get into as we celebrate Andre Johnson again as he went into the National Football Hall of Fame. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're getting to this time where we typically hand it over to Figgy for the mixtape. He's still under the weather, so I will try and do the duties of the mixtape.
Pressure's on. You did good yesterday.
We'll see. But yeah, there's a new Texans anthem that came out, and so we'll get you a little bit of that. Plus, a college is changing its logo because kids can't read cursive. Let's talk about that and more in the mixtape next.